Thanks to Netflix Instant Streaming for supporting this episode of the Paranormal Podcast. Watch thousands of TV episodes and movies on your PC, Mac, iPad, iPhone, iPod Touch, or Android device. Or on your TV through your smart TV, Xbox, PS3, Wii, or Roku. All streamed instantly by Netflix, saving you time, money, and hassle. For a free 30-day trial, including episodes of the new Netflix original series, Orange is the New Black, go to Netflix.com/Jim. That's Netflix.com/Jim. Thanks, Netflix.
This is the Paranormal Podcast with Jim Harold.
Welcome to the Paranormal Podcast. I'm Jim Harold. So glad to be with you once again. And before we get started, I'm excited to say that we do have some new members of our Paranormal Plus Club over at jimharold.net. Paranormal courses, hundreds of podcasts that aren't available on the free feed. These folks decided to join in the last week, and I'd like to thank them. Christy, Dawn, Hannah, Diane, David, and Hillary took the plunge into the Plus content, and we certainly appreciate it and hope that you enjoy it very much. And if you'd like to join them and check it out, you can go over to jimharold.net and click on the big green button. And I'm glad you clicked on this program because I think you're going to enjoy it. A great guest, Jim Mars, is joining us. The subject is Our Occulted History. It's this week on the Paranormal Podcast. He is the king of the conspiracy journalists. I'm talking about Jim Mars, the one and only. Now, if that name rings a bell, you probably know him from many of his books, including that great book, Crossfire, The Plot That Killed Kennedy. And if you're familiar with the Oliver Stone movie, JFK, well, Jim played a big role in that as a chief consultant for both the film screenplay and production. Now, he's an award-winning journalist. He's won so many awards that I'd be here for 20 minutes if I read them all off. But needless to say, he has won and continues to do that. He's appeared on ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, C-SPAN, the Discovery, Learning, and History channels. He's been on Geraldo, Montel Williams, Today, Tech TV, The Larry King Program, Coast to Coast with George Norrie, and Coast to Coast with Art Bell, who we all know is coming back. And he's also been on many, many podcasts, radio shows, TV shows. He's a former president of the Press Club of Fort Worth and a current member of the Society of Professional Journalists, Sigma Delta Chi, and the Investigative Reporters and Editors. Jim Mars, welcome back to the program.
Hey, Jim, it's great to be with you. And anybody named Jim can't be all bad.
You know, that's true. That's true. And there's not as many of us as it used to be. It was a really, you know, I had in my class, I'm in my mid-40s, and in my class there were three Jims or Jameses, and now you just don't see it. We're kind of a dying breed, I hate to say it.
I think that's true, and particularly in my case, because I consider myself a generalist. I know a little bit about a whole lot of things, and in today's specialized society, that's getting to be a rarity, too.
That's true. Well, let's talk about a couple things that are at hand. One I wanted to mention, first and foremost, this coming weekend, August 9th through 11th, you're going to be involved in a big UFO event, Contact in the Desert. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, it's going to be at the Joshua Tree Retreat Center at Joshua Tree, California. And you're right, it's the weekend of 9 through 11 August. And man, the lineup they've got here is pretty incredible. You've got George Norrie and Stephen, Dr. Greer, Giorgio Scalos, David Wilcox, Graham Hancock, Michael Tellinger, William Henry. They got all the heavyweights pretty much from the UFO community. And it's not just the metal ship people. We've got a little bit of everybody. Laura Eisenhower is going to be there, and Roger Lear, Suzanne Taylor, Celeste Yarnell, a lot of people who, it pretty well covers the whole UFO field, everything from crop circles, to sightings, to the abduction phenomena, to contact. If you ever had any question at all about what's going on, with UFOs, this is the place to be.
Now, we'll mention it at the tail end of the show, because we're also going to talk, the meat of the show is going to be about your most recent book, Our Occulted History. But if people want to check this out, Jim, where can they go on the net to find out how they get tickets and so forth? Because at this point, time's wasting if they're interested. And if I were out in that part of the country, heck, I'd be there.
I guarantee you this is going to be the place to be that weekend. You can find out all you need to know from the website contactinthedesert.net. Easy enough. Contactinthedesert.net.
Well, and that's kind of a nice segue, the Contact in the Desert event, because the reason you're going to be there, I mean, a lot of times I think of you, I think of more kind of political kind of conspiracies and so forth. I've never really hadn't thought of you, of course you had Alien Agenda, but I always thought about you in terms of the JFK stuff and things like that and the Federal Reserve and all of that. But you've also done a lot of work on this question of ancient aliens, which brings us to your most recent book, Our Occulted History, Do the Global Elite Conceal Ancient Aliens? What kind of got you on this tack that maybe the powers that be, whomever they are, and you can tell us who they are if you want, how did you get the scent of this and say, hey, this is something I want to write a book about?
Well, that goes back to my New York Times bestseller, Rule by Secrecy. And there I track the secret societies, so-called secret societies. They're not really secret. Some of them have websites and they issue publications, and you know they're secret because you and I can't join. You have to be invited. You have to subscribe to their globalist worldview to become a member. And yet they exert tremendous influence over government and government policies, not only in the United States but in the UK and lots of other countries. And so I tracked them, and I tracked them. They go back through other older secret societies that go all the way back. And that led me into the issue of ancient astronauts. Were there non-humans that visited the Earth thousands of years ago? And the answer seems to be an overwhelming yes. The evidence is pretty clear. Every culture in the world has ancient legends of gods that came from the sky and taught them farming and law and language and astronomy and all kinds of things. So, you know, it seems like they were here then. Well, then that leads to the question of, well, then all right, did they all leave, or are some of them still here? And then that leads to the question, if some of them are still here, where are they today and what are they trying to do? And so I thought, can you connect this issue of the ancient astronauts to today's small clique of people who are obviously trying to run the world? And they are known variously. They call themselves globalists. Other people call them the New World Order. And the answer, Jim, is yes. The same bloodlines, the same families can be tracked all the way down through history. So I end up in my book, Our Occulted History, which tells a lot of the information that's being withheld from the public. It's not like it's hidden, but you have to really go look for it. You're not going to turn on your TV or radio and just hear these stories. For example, is back into the 1800s, there were these huge giant skeletons being found all over the world, and I mean people that were like 15 feet tall, you know, and this is very real, and there was accounts of them in the news media at the time, and all this gets scraped up and hidden away in the bowels of the National Archives or the Smithsonian Institute. It's reminiscent of the Indiana Jones movie where they take the Ark of the Covenant and bury it back in a government warehouse somewhere. But that apparently is exactly what's going on. And this is why I say we have an occulted history. And by the way, I use the term occulted. This has nothing to do with zombies or werewolves or vampires or the things we think of as the occult. I'm using it in the astronomical sense that when the moon eclipses the sun, that's called an occultation. It simply means hidden or masked. So we're talking about hidden history, history that is very real, but that we don't get taught in school.
Now, what are some of your favorite examples? I know in the book you talk about the Coral Castle and some different things. What are some of your favorite anomalies that you think really say, hey, ancient aliens?
Well, for example, there are ancient tablets from Sumer in Mesopotamia that predate the Bible by thousands of years. And they talk about the gods having this huge war and that they had weapons that could destroy an entire city. And, of course, even that's recorded in the Bible with the account of the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And then scientists recently have found in the Indus Valley there in western India and in the Sinai Desert evidence of radiation, of atomic blast. They find what they call these tektites, which are fused rock or sand that has been blasted with such heat that it turns them into solid rocks. And the only known instances of this is in a nuclear explosion. So there is some evidence that that these ancient tales of ancient atomic warfare might be true.
Are you of the opinion that mankind itself was extremely advanced at one point? Many people point to things like Atlantis and then some kind of cataclysm. Maybe it was a man-made war. Maybe it was a natural disaster. Kind of threw us back into the Stone Age, as it were, and we had to start all over again?
That seems to be the case. Point out in my book, Our Occulted History, is that there's been a fierce controversy for years over Atlantis. Was there such a place? And if so, where was it? And people have come up with very cogent arguments stating that it was actually just the island of Santorini that had a volcanic explosion. Others say it was Crete. Others say it was a landmass in the middle of the Atlantic that sank. Others said it was Antarctica that before a pole shift that then put it under ice, for thousands of years. And I've come to the belief that I think that they are like the story of the blind men and the elephant. They've all got a piece of it, but nobody has the total picture, because I think that what we're looking at here with these ancient ruins, ancient writings, ancient legends, I think that what we're seeing is there was a worldwide, highly technological civilization that included flight, perhaps atomic energy, other types of energy manipulation, and that, as you said, they got destroyed either through natural disasters or perhaps a war or a combination of the two. And yes, from that point on, it's been trying to rebuild everything, and we are just now achieving the technological knowledge and scientific knowledge that allows us even to understand this horrific past.
Interesting perspective. After we
going back, you go back to the earliest civilization. I know when I was a young man in school, we were taught Egypt was the the first great civilization. Well, simply not true. Egypt was simply the latest manifestation of a civilization that was even much older than that, and that was the Sumerian civilization. And then, in fact, that was something that was kind of a revelation to me, because although I knew about other civilizations such as the Akkadians and the Babylonians and the Assyrians, I always thought, well, these are different civilizations. One grew up over here and one grew up over there. But that's not true. They're all just simply devolving aspects of the same old civilization. And it was devolving. It was eroding. It was degrading. And because, for example, in Egypt, the original dynasties were much more advanced. Their jewelry was more precise. Everything, their science was more precise than the later civilizations, the later dynasties. So it was a degrading, devolving civilization. And yet it all tracks back to the original one. And the original in Sumer, we actually can know more about them than we know about the Egyptians or the Greeks or the Romans, because they wrote their documents on papyrus or paper, and it got burned up or lost in wars or fires or just disintegrated over time. And yet the Sumerians etched their story into clay tablets and then baked them, and so they turned them to stone, and those still exist. And they weren't even translated until the mid-1800s. And then when they were translating them and they read about flying through space, flying through the air, gene splicing, cloning, such as this, they had no idea what they were talking about. So they interpreted this as mythology. These were their gods. And yet when you go back and actually look at it from an objective standpoint, they never did. The earliest accounts did not call these people gods. They just simply referred to them as the Anu or the Anunnaki, plural, which is translates as those who came down from the heavens. So, I think it's all there. It's more a matter of interpretation than it is translation. You can find the story pretty well detailed in the Encyclopedia Britannica. But it's not under history, it's under Sumerian mythology.
Mm-hmm. Fascinating discussion. And what we're going to talk about after the break is how do the powers that be tie into this? The secret societies, where do they come into play and what is their role? We'll be back with the legendary, the one and only Jim Mars right after this. Thanks to Netflix Instant Streaming for supporting this episode of the Paranormal Podcast. With Netflix Instant Streaming, you can watch thousands of TV episodes and movies on your PC, Mac, iPad, iPhone, iPod Touch, or Android device, or on your TV through your Xbox, PS3, Wii, Roku, or Smart TV. It's easy, convenient, and you can save a lot of money. And not only is there this great, great back catalog of content over at Netflix in terms of shows like Breaking Bad and Mad Men and all these fantastic shows and all the great movies that have been made over the years, many available on Netflix, but now Netflix is even stepping up their game with original programming. We've talked about Hemlock Grove. We've talked about House of Cards starring Kevin Spacey, and that's been nominated for multiple Emmy Awards. And now Netflix is doing it again with another original, Orange is the New Black. And it's the story of a young woman who's about ready to get married, but then she gets put in prison for something she did a decade earlier. And it talks about her kind of reality check at the door and what life is like in a prison. And it's, I guess you'd call it a dramedy, because certainly there's some comedic elements to it, but it is very touching. I'm about halfway through the first season, which is now all available on Netflix, and you've got to check out. It's a very, very good show. Definitely not for the kids. This is a grown-up show, but it's quite good. And House of Cards is quite good. I enjoyed Hemlock Grove, and not to mention, I just started delving into a little bit of Arrested Development. I used Netflix to catch up with the first three seasons, and now I'm into the fourth season, the Netflix original season. So really, you've got this great original programming that you can't get anywhere else. You've got great TV series, and we've talked about those before, and you've got great movies, and it's all very inexpensive. And the best thing is you can watch thousands of these movies and TV shows and try it for free for 30 whole days. How much TV could you watch in a month? Yes, that's a free 30-day trial of Netflix Instant Streaming at netflix.com/Jim. And we thank Netflix for their support.
Be sure to follow Jim on Facebook, Twitter, and Google+. Find all the links at jimherald.com. Now back to the Paranormal Podcast.
Welcome back to the Paranormal Podcast. I'm Jim Harold, and we're back from the break. And our guest today is Jim Mars. The subject is his latest book, Our Occulted History. And the question is, do the global elite conceal ancient aliens? And I think Jim says the answer is a definite yes. So when we talk about the global elite, who are we talking about? Are we talking about the Bilderberg Group? Are we talking about the Illuminati? Are we talking about the Bohemian Club? Who are we talking about when we're talking about the global elite?
And the answer, Jim, is yes. All of the above. No, what I found out in my working hypothesis was, and the question was, can you connect ancient astronauts and that issue to some of the elite people today who are trying to run the world? And the answer is yes. For example, everyone knows that at the top of the banking pile is the Rothschild dynasty, the Rothschild family that has controlled international banking for a couple of centuries now. And although a lot of people, I'm sure, and a lot of people maybe listening to your podcast are going to go, oh, Mars talking about these Anunnaki and these ancient astronaut gods, and man, that's just a bunch of crazy talk. Well, okay, we don't know about all that, and we think it's kind of crazy conspiracy talk, but these folks, they know better. For example, the Rothschilds claim to be the descendants of the Sumerian god Nimrod. Okay. In fact, they even named one of the Rothschild children years ago, named him Nimrod. So they understand this stuff and they know it. Other families, royal families in Europe, other of these blue bloods, if you will, they know about these things, and whether you believe in it or not, they do. And so if for no other reason, then I think that's a good cause to pay attention to this issue and to these stories, because these people, they know this stuff and they operate on the basis of this is actual history. It's not conspiracy theory to them. And you can track these families down through the presidency of the United States. Actually, I was onto this back in the election of 2000, or as it turned out, the selection of 2000. When the British publication Burke's Peerage, which is a very prestigious genealogical publication, publicly stated that George W. Bush would be president. This was prior to the election. And they said they did this because although Al Gore also was related to the Windsor family, the royal family of England, the Bush family was related and was closer related, and that everyone who is the closest bloodline to the British royals ends up being president. So they predicted George W. Bush would be president. And of course, as we now know, although Al Gore won the election, they stopped the recount, and the Supreme Court appointed George W. Bush as president. So they ended up telling the truth. And that's exactly what happened. And when you go back, you find that the vast majority of U.S. presidents can all be traced back to the same familiar bloodlines. And so it really goes beyond coincidence. So, yes, there is lots of evidence to show that these people are still in control. What's interesting is that even John Kerry and George W. Bush and Dick Cheney, they're all related. Okay. And then so I'm thinking, well, at least we got Barack Hussein Obama in there now, and he's not related, but it turns out that yes, he is. According to Dick Cheney's wife, Lynn Cheney, she was researching their family and found out that they are distant cousins to Barack Hussein Obama. So wait a minute, we still got the same bloodline trying to rule us.
Interesting. Now, do you feel that these global elite are still in contact with some alien race, or is this more just kind of a lineage that they consider themselves some type of royalty?
Well, that's for sure. That's why they consider themselves, capable and ordained to be leaders of everyone else, because they have the royal bloodline, which means they can trace their bloodline back to the ancient astronauts. Now the question is, are they still in touch with aliens? And actually there's three possibilities. They're either, spending lots of money and effort trying to contact these ancient creator gods, or number two, they are already in contact and are being guided or even controlled by them. Or number three, they are the ancient controlling gods. So that's the $64,000 question. And I can't give you a firm answer on that, although I have some tantalizing evidence that points to the fact that they are in touch.
Well, I do have this question because I think that this really plays into the headlines of today. Now, first of all, I'm going to make very clear. I am against terrorism of any form or shape. And, you know, if they find anybody who is hatching a terror plot or anything, I say throw them in jail and throw away the key. Throw away the key. Okay, so let's get that out of the way in case anybody misinterprets anything. But it seems like there's an effort, particularly with the U.S. government, to kind of lock us down. To kind of control us, to know everything we're doing. What are your thoughts on that? And do you think that that is part of this bigger play?
Yeah, I think if you back off and look at the bigger picture, you'll find out that this is nothing new. These ruling elites, whether they stem from ancient aliens or not, obviously are trying to control the population of the world and have been since time immemorial. The human civilizations, at least in the Western world, began in the Middle East between the Tigris-Euphrates rivers, right there in Mesopotamia, right there in where ancient Sumer was located. And then the human population spread northward through the Caucasus mountain regions into what is now Russia and then into Eastern Europe and Western Europe. And then it spread southward into Palestine, where we get the accounts of the Old Testament, and then to Egypt and then Greece and Rome, and again into Western Europe and then to the British Isles and then to the Americas. And then, of course, during the 19th century, the human population spread from the east coast of the United States all the way and filled up the continent all the way to the west coast. So it's been one huge movement to the west. And now, why did everybody move? Weren't people satisfied to stay home? You know, weren't they happy and contented? No. In fact, the historians make no secret about it. It's been a constant westward movement of the humans because they sought to seek to escape political and religious tyranny. So every time they try to get control of the population, everybody just moved. And so, but unfortunately today we filled up the continents. There's no place to move to. Plus they are now gaining the technology through fiber optics and digital and TV and radio and spy cameras and facial recognition, heat sensing devices. You know, now they can put their finger on every single individual. And it's anathema to individual liberty. And yet too many people are just asleep at the switch. They don't seem to realize what's happening to them. And, of course, one of the reasons is because the very people who are doing this to them have kept them in a constant state of fear. Watch out for the terrorists. Terrorist alert high today. You know, what the heck does that mean? I mean, I'm down here in North Texas in a rural area. Am I supposed to go into a karate crouch, you know? Am I supposed to be expected to be jumped any minute by a terrorist? Who's a terrorist anyway? Well, it's kind of like back during the Cold War. You know, we had back then the big feared enemy was the communists. Watch out for the communists. Well, you know, I looked around. I saw Ho Chi Minh was a communist, and Castro was a communist. Mao Tse-tung was a communist. Khrushchev was a communist. Marshal Tito was a communist, and yet they were all different, and they operated differently. So exactly what was a communist? Well, I finally figured out that a communist was anybody who disagreed with you. Okay? And today it's the same thing. They've got us fearful of terrorists. Well, terrorism, for one thing, is a tactic. It's not even a person. It's not even a group. It's, I don't know what, you know, that it's like saying that we have to watch out for, you know, when the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor, that would be like saying, okay, we've got to protect ourselves from naval aviation. It's a tactic. Terrorism, and anybody can practice terrorism. So in other words, a terrorist is anybody who disagrees with you. And yet it keeps us in a state of constant fear, which then makes people pliable, and they'll go along with just about anything if their leaders promise them safety and security, of which we've got neither. In fact, if you go back and look at all of the the publicized terrorist activity since 9/11, you find out at the heart of every single one of them is a FBI informant or a CIA asset. It's false flag operations. They create the problem and then offer the solution.
Go ahead.
No, well, it's an old tactic. It's been used successfully throughout history. Even Hermann Goering, head of the Nazi Luftwaffe at Nuremberg, said it's easy enough to get people to go to war. You just tell them they've been attacked and that you'll protect them, and then they'll just go along with whatever you want. And it's true.
Well, the thing that I've always been a believer of, and I'll just be honest, that 9/11 was what they said it was. But when you hear about things like Operation Northwoods, and if you're not familiar, look it up.
Yes, look it up. Because
look it up.
I'm convinced they pulled off a variation. In Operation Northwoods, this was a plan that was approved by the Joint Chiefs of Staff in 1962, and this was after the failed Bay of Pigs invasion, and they were trying to figure out what to do about Cuba. So the plan was to assassinate American citizens in American cities, set off bombs, hijack airliners, hijack ships at sea, and blame it all on Castro so that the American people would get incensed and support another invasion of Cuba. Of course, the problem was, at that time, the people who were planning this did not realize that there had been some secret agreements made between Kennedy and Khrushchev, and Russians agreed to pull their missiles out of Cuba and stop sending missiles to Cuba. In exchange, we pledged to take our offensive missiles out of Turkey and pledged that we would not support a military invasion of Cuba. But see, this was secret stuff at the time, and the planners of Northwoods didn't know this. So they're going to do all of these false flag operations, blame it on Castro. And what's the irony of it is that plan, although it was approved by the Joint Chiefs, was rejected by President Kennedy. He said, we don't operate that way. And ordered that all these plans be destroyed, and most of them were. But ironically enough, the Northwoods plans were found by the Assassination Records Review Board in the early 90s as part of the congressional mandate to locate any documents in government files that had to do with the Kennedy era, and particularly the Kennedy assassination. So I thought that was pretty ironic. So one of the plans for Northwoods was to take a commercial airliner, ground it, and send up a similar aircraft marked as a commercial airliner and fly it remotely over the Gulf of Mexico and then trigger an onboard recording that says, help, we're being attacked by Castro, and then remotely blow the plane up and then blame it all on Castro. Well, I think that we saw something similar happening on 9/11. And one of the things that leads me to believe this is that by the year 2001, large wide-bodied Boeing airliners were being controlled by the computer. And anytime you have a craft that's controlled by the computer, you have the capability of overriding the computer onboard computer signal and capturing and guiding that aircraft. In fact, I have a quote from the head of British Airways that was made in early 2001, in which he said, hijacking airliners is a thing of the past because now we can capture the onboard computer and guide the plane to a safe landing regardless of the wishes of the hijackers or the flight crew. And of course, this was brand new technology. It was still kind of secret, and nobody knew about this at the time. Today, we all know about Global Hawk. In fact, there's ads at the movies. You go see a movie, you see an ad for the Air Force, and they say, hey, come join the Air Force, and you can sit at a console at Fort Huachuca, and you can guide, you know, remotely controlled cruise missiles and drones over Afghanistan and, you know, drop missiles on villages and have a great time. Might even make the next level. And we know all that, and we know that that's a possibility and a real technology, but nobody knew that in 2001, so they could come up with whatever story they wanted to. about 9/11, and nobody really had the knowledge to say, well, that's not right. But although I'll just leave it with the words of John Farmer, who is not a conspiracy writer, was the senior counsel of the official 9/11 commission. And in a book he published in 2009 called Ground Truth, on page 2, he said the account of what happened on the morning of 9/11 is entirely and inexplicably untrue. So in other words, the head lawyer of the official 9/11 commission said the story they gave us is entirely and inexplicably untrue. Now, you know, so I don't think it's unpatriotic then to ask, well, then what is true?
It's a good question. Certainly these matters, when we start talking about these matters, they are an enigma wrapped in a riddle. I guess to quote the David Ferry character in the movie GAFK, of which I know you're very familiar, but there's no better person to ask these questions of than Jim Mars. Jim, thank you for joining us today. Now, first of all, I want everybody to know, if they want to pick up your book or follow your other work, where can they go on the web?
Well, you can go to my website, which is, interestingly enough, jimmars.com, JIMMARRS.com, or you can go to Amazon, or you can go to any bookstore.
Yes, and you will find his books. They are great. And Jim, let's real quick remind folks of the Contact in the Desert conference coming up this weekend, August 9th through 11th. Tell us again a little bit about it and where they can go to check it out.
Okay, this is at the Joshua Tree Retreat Center in Joshua Tree, California. It's August the 9th through the 11th, and there's going to be a stellar array of people from the UFO research community, you know, from the hard metal ship people all the way down to the esoteric New Age type thinking. We're going to be looking at what are they, where they come from, what's the agenda, and you'll be able to hear all of the experts. So if you have the slightest interest in UFOs or attendant issues, Joshua Tree is going to be the place to be.
Very good. Well, thank you, sir. We appreciate it and hope to talk to you again soon.
Thank you, Jim.
And thank you for tuning in to this edition of the Paranormal Podcast. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. And please, if you do enjoy the shows, go over to iTunes, give us a 4 or 5 star rating and an honest blurb on your thoughts on the program, because that helps us tremendously. Thanks, everybody. We'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye. Now for the legal disclaimer. We do not accept money from publishers or content producers in exchange for interviews. However, as with most media outlets, in the majority of cases, we do receive complimentary copies of books and DVDs that we feature on our podcasts. Your purchases of books, DVDs, and other items via our Amazon.com links benefit Jim Harold and JimHarold.com and help us continue our programming. The sponsor messages you hear on the programs are paid endorsements, although we really do like them. For the full disclaimer, go to JimHarold.com, and thanks for listening.